Okay, happy Sabbath. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me clearly? All right, praise the Lord. So I will be the one giving the study today and the sermon. We're gonna pray for our brother and Pastor Nate. He's not feeling well. So it's really a blessing that, you know, that the Lord is giving us this opportunity to study together. And I didn't expect that I'm going to be giving the study as well. But, you know, the Lord said that preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. So I pray that let the Lord lead on this study, and I'm gonna try. I actually have a one. We'll talk about Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 about this topic for our study. But before that, let's pray. I invite you to pray with me. And if you are ready, please bow your heart. Those who are who cannot kneel, it's okay. The Lord knows it. All right, let's pray. Yeah, many unspoken. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as a church, especially this Sabbath day, for you have called us, Lord, to rest and meditate on your holy words. And we ask your holy presence to be with us. We have so many unspokens and many unspokens that we want to leave out to you. You know them, Lord, and you care about us. We especially uplift you, those who are sick right now, especially Pastor Nick, Sister Fran. We also pray for Sister Issa, Lord, and the dad of Brother Joe, Sister Connie. We have so many brothers and sisters who are passing through this trial right now. But we are so thankful because you are there to heal us, not only physically, but spiritually. That's why you deserve everything, Lord. And we cannot say more than enough. And please make us worthy before your throne this Sabbath day, as we study your holy words all the way, and those who are going to speak in your behalf, that only you alone will be glorified in this hour until our study and activities and programs for today. Thank you so much for the children's study that we have. So many learnings that we are getting out of your words to continue to serve you, Lord. And please brighten my tongue, and may your Holy Spirit speak in our heart. Please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee, for we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's, if you have your Bible, we can read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, okay. It says here, finally, brethren. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brother Angie. Praise the Lord, my brother. From another mother, my brother in Christ. It says here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, we all of us belong to God because we are His children by creation and redemption. So our mind, our heart, everything, even our will, our affections belong to Him. Even desires, that's right. Yeah. And He gives His desires also to us. So we must acknowledge Him as our Creator. Because He's so loyal, He's so true to us. He offered His life to us through His Son as a living, Savior for us. So that we have to give back to Him our body, our mind, everything as a living sacrifice for what? Reasonable service, according to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Right? So, I have a quotation here that I want to post. This is found in sermon at Helena Sanitarium, January 23, 1904. It says here, God has given to every human being a brain. See? So all of us has a brain. He desires that it should be used to His glory. We have none too much brain power or reasoning faculties. And we are to educate, and train every power of mind and body, the human mechanism that Christ has brought, in order that we may put it to the best possible use. We are to do all we can to strengthen these powers. So we have a duty. Why? For God is pleased to have us become more and still more efficient fellow co-laborers with Him. So that's our objective. He wants us to be efficient. He wants us to be doing our best. We are His workers. So we have to use our, talent. That's why He said, whatsoever things are pure. This is actually true because we have to be truthful in our speech. This is the summary of, this is what how Paul sums up what we ought to do as a Christians by encouraging us to uphold everything that is true. Yeah, when we talk about biblical truth, the gospel, the natural law, even recognizing what is genuinely true. So all of this is in contrast with falsehood, deceit, and pretense of hypocrisy. In one of our brother asked about, okay, why are we saying what is that? The commandment number 9 says, okay, thou shalt not bear false witness. Why we are saying that? Do not lie. What is the significance, right? So being truthful actually is the basic principle of commandment number 9. That's the basis of it. So includes truthfulness. Falsehood is opposite of truthfulness. Okay. So we must be true in our speech. That's why we have to be careful. We have to think first before we utter it, we speak. Also, whatsoever things are honest, it's like, you know, this emphasizes the importance of honesty in the view of others, not only in speech, but also in our action. Even actually in our appearance, our deportment. So, look at the people now, the worldlings. They're so superficial, full of vanity, full of pride. They're not really being themselves. So, aside from that, it says, whatsoever things are just, with regards to others, it all matters that are just or fair, even in our relationships. Our relationships with God and men. What else? He says here, pure. Whatsoever things are pure. This is actually regarding to ourselves. We must be pure or chaste in our words and actions, you know, opposed to all forms of filthiness like, you know, foolish talks, vulgar words and actions. That's why it says, whatsoever things are holy, which are agreeable to the holy nature, promoting holiness of heart and life. That's why we have studied last time about be holy. What about lovely? Whatsoever are lovely. What more lovely than truth, right? In Matthew chapter 10:21, Jesus says, that Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. So those qualities and traits that are naturally pleasing and can be seen even among morally upright men, these are actually included in this principle. It serves to cultivate and increase love, even friendship and peace, goodwill among men. These are really pleasing to God and lovely in His sight. We put a smile in His face. This is actually in contrast to all what? Contention, if you have strife, you have wrath, hatred. So whatsoever things are lovely, these are the qualities and traits that we must cultivate. And what else? In whatsoever things are of good report, we can actually read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1. How's your good name? It's about our reputation. It says here, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. So, everything that are commendable, everything that are contributing to building a positive reputation, these are like, it is likened to expensive perfume, right? So it is, while it is important to be willing to sacrifice a good name, a credit or reputation for the sake of Christ when necessary, one should also take care to be careful to preserve these qualities by engaging in actions that promote them. Because this not only helps ensure that those who profess their faith are viewed positively, but it is also a beautiful goal for us, for everyone, and essential for others, for some. And one statement there in Philippians 4:8, if there be any virtue, all virtues are contained in justice. If there is any virtue to be found, it exists in contrast to any vice, regardless of the people involved. What about if there be any praise? In Luke chapter 16, verse 8, we can use this verse. Luke chapter 16, verse 8. If there be any praise, it says here, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Commendation. If there is anything worthy of praise among us or among people who deserves a commendation, it should be acknowledged. That's why even if it comes from an unjust steward, it was noted. Again, it says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So if there be any praise in those things which relate rather to yourself, to ourselves than to our neighbor. That's why at the bottom of it, it says, think on these things. Think on these things that all of us may both practice them and recommend this truth to others. We have to reflect on these matters, on the truth, meditate upon them. We have to contemplate them, ponder them deeply within our thoughts by earnestly evaluating ourselves, examining ourselves, and engage our thought in thoughtful conversation with ourselves about them, so that you may apply them in your lives. Because in Romans chapter 8 verse 7, we are told our mind is actually carnal, meaning earthly. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what everybody needs to study is not the human mind at all, much less its mightiest passion and thoughts, but the divine mind. In other words, let's not focus on ourselves. Our mind must be subjected to the mind of Christ. That's why in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, let this mind be in you, right? Which was also in Christ Jesus. Because again, our mind is carnal. It's corrupt. So when we start, when we study about the psychology, study of the mind like that, it's actually we are magnifying the sin of these weak people. So our mind is so weak. But the thought of the mind of God is different. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Isaiah 55 verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Okay. And what else? It says here, Isaiah 55, 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought." I don't know. I read the 8 first before 7. Sorry. "So let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So think on these things. God wants us to think on these things. He wants all of us, you, me, to see that the salvation that he offered to us, and to which he calls our highest thinking, is not some little narrow side issue. It's not just a side issue, but it is the greatest thing the world can ever know. It is the greatest thing the science of the world can ever know. That's why I mentioned about psychology. It's a science. It's actually one of the degree now. It's a study of mind. But psychology and phrenology or what, these are actually part of what? Spiritualism. Mind over body. The power within. That's more on spiritualism. But again, the Bible actually is full of science, but it is not the science falsely so called. I think we're gonna read this later on in Christ Object Lesson in page 107. Where it's stated here, I posted it, Christ Object Lesson, page 107, paragraph 3. It says, "This is the treasure that is found in the scriptures. The Bible is God's great lesson book, his great educator. The foundation of all true science is contained in the Bible." All the Bible. That's why the Bible is the greatest book of all time. "Every branch of knowledge may be found by searching the Word of God." But because of what? Unbelief. They don't want to accept the truth. They want to resort to this so-called science of the world. Again, above all else, it contains the science of all sciences, the science of salvation. This is the true science that we have to learn, to study the science of our salvation. And where can we find this? The Bible is the mine of the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart." When talking about heart, it means our mind. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And one more in Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says here, "For as he thinketh in his heart," what it says? "So is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with me." Or with thee, sorry. "But his heart is not with thee. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." What you think is what you are. So think on these things. Philippians 4:8 actually gives us a very broad principle that we have to apply in our life to be pure, to be holy. We need God's grace to renew our hearts, actually daily. Our prayer should be asking for a daily supply of grace to renew our hearts, or otherwise we will never be able to live a godly life, a pure life. And if someone tries to build a good character, let's say without Christ's help, he is only clinging on his own works, he or she are building their house on a moving sand. Remember that wise man and the foolish man who built the house, one in stone, in the rock, and the other is in the sand, on the sand. So those who are building on the sand will surely fall apart in a strong wind of temptations. That's why we have to pray always, every day, every time. Psalms 51:10. This is one, you know, a prayer that is applicable to everybody. It says here, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And because having become a partakers of the heavenly gift, we are to go on perfection. And how can we do that? Paul said in 1 Peter 1:5, it says here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be renewed, revealed in the last time. So we're gonna talk more about the this faith later in our sermon. Our title is The Eye of Faith. Eye of Faith. So, brothers and sisters, we still have work to do to stay away from temptations. We must resist it. But don't invite the enemy to tempt you, right? That's a different thing. Because if we don't want to fall for Satan's devices, his tricks, we must be very careful with our minds. In other words, stay away from reading, you know, watching, seeing, or hearing things that will make us think of bad things, you know, to impure our minds. So avoid that. See, watching YouTube is very entertaining, but we must be careful too. Not everything we have to watch in there. We have to discern by God's grace which one is good or not. Because the enemy of souls should not be able to make the mind wander around on any subjects he wants. That's why he speaks that. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1:13-15. This is why Paul told us, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. It's girding up the loins of your mind means to be sober and not give it to all desires, because you don't know any better. We cannot rely on ourselves. We have a corrupted mind. We have to be pure. Think on these things. That's why he said here, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Yeah, that's what we are before. Because God winks us. We don't know. But now we know. We have to gird up the loins of our mind. And in 15 it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We have to be holy in every way, just like the one who called us is holy. That's why, again, who said, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. According to Psalms 119, verse 9 and verse 11, verse 119, 9 to 11. I think that's better. It says here, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is actually the secret, one of the secret to avoid sin. By heeding, keeping the word of God in our heart or in our mind. Because according to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, once this the word of God, the word of the king, is in our heart, is kept in there, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Power. What is power? Power to overcome all this sin. Because it's not me, but God is working on us. We gain victory through his word. So think on these things. So we need to ask, to always pray for the Holy Spirit to always impress us of his truth. To lift our minds up and train our mind to think about good and holy things. We must read our Bible daily. Not hastily. Okay? Or some, maybe they're just reading it for like sleeping pills. Okay? Or like to make themselves maybe pastime, they call it. No, let's read our Bible with understanding, with care. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, again, to wrap these things up, we must be true in our speech. We must be honest in our action. We must be just with regard to others. We must be pure with regard to ourselves. Lovely in the truth. Of good report, as is honesty even where it is not practiced. Virtue, well, all virtues are containing justice. Praise in those things which relate rather to ourselves than to our neighbor. So think on these things, that you may both practice them yourselves and recommend them to others. And lastly, in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, I will end up on this. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what he said, do it or do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. I hope and pray that you are all blessed.